What day is he talking about?
Okay.
He said second coming, but you know what? You can insert any old day you want in there. Maybe tomorrow's a big day for you. Maybe it's a new job. Maybe you're thinking about a lost loved one, or a loved one that's, you know, got some health issues. Randall had to take off this morning because he got a call that they'd taken his mother from the care facility to the hospital, so he went shooting out of here during worship practice. You know, maybe that's the day. And I want to tell you what, that when those days come, we need to be there pulling for one another, encouraging one another, reminding one another that the Lord has our back and our front and our left and our right and our past and our future and our present.
Amen.
He's got it. He's got the tarp nailed down on all four corners. He's got things straight. The road before us is smooth. All we have to do is be willing to enter that narrow way, go through that narrow gate, follow His plan, and we will find victory as we pursue Him in all things. Father, I ask Your blessings on this congregation as we open up Your Word today. Father, just help us, Lord. Help us to have ears to hear. Hearts that listen. Hands and feet that are willing to change, willing to belong to You, willing to make a difference in this world. Father, I pray for the kids going to children's church. Thank You. Call chapter 14, verse 1, and I have to kind of accelerate things because I gave way too much yakety there. Verse 1 says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in Me." And certainly the entire passage that you see up here is relevant. But I just want to skip down to my notes. You know, I think this passage arrives in a very curious place in the sequence of scriptures. See, if we're looking, if we look back, and because that's always an important thing to do. You know, we always say when it says therefore, look back to see why the therefore is therefore. But sometimes it's important when you're just kind of jumping into the middle of a book or in the middle of a chapter or even the beginning of a chapter. It's important to look back and see what's just been happening. You have your Bibles, take them and turn them, open them up to John chapter 14. We're going to spend the whole time together there. And so Jesus is with His disciples and they're in the upper room. They're getting ready for the Passover celebration. And chapter 13 lays out everything that's been going on. They've arrived early. Jesus has washed the disciples' feet. And then He speaks of His impending betrayal that we know is going to lead to His crucifixion. But certainly His disciples did not know that. Jesus continues to speak with His disciples, telling them that He is leaving them and that they cannot follow Him. So it's like now He's giving them information, not as their teacher that's with them, but as their teacher that's leaving them. And so in John 13:34, He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another." So then in verse 36, Peter begins to speak, and he says, "Lord, where are You going?" And Jesus answers, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow Me now, but you will afterward." And Peter said, "Lord, why can I not follow You now? I will lay down my life for You." You feel that way about your relationship with Jesus? That you would lay down your life for Him? Many of us do. And this is what Jesus answered. "Will you lay down your life for Me? Truly I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied Me 3 times. Wow. What I want you to do is kind of get the whole breath. grasp of the picture that's going on with the disciples in this place, this night. They come together, that everyone's gathered together to celebrate. It's the Passover. This is their big celebration. This is their Christmas and Easter kind of wrapped into one. And Jesus and everybody, so everybody's gathered together to celebrate. And Jesus says, one of you is going to betray me. That's some celebration. And then Judas leaves the room. Now, we read that and we kind of think that, well, everybody heard what's going on. But you know, when I read that passage, I kind of think that that was more of an exchange that not everybody picked up on. That it was really more between Jesus and Judas, and maybe one or two that were close by. But Judas winds up, Jesus confronts him. You know, Judas, it's you who's going to betray me. Judas gets up and leaves. And then Jesus says that he is also leaving. And Peter then says, Lord, I'll follow you. And then Jesus says, Peter, you're going to deny me. With all that in mind, you know, what kind of crazy family Christmas is that, right? You probably had a few of those. You know, where everybody comes together to celebrate, but there's all this craziness just going on. There's betrayal and people leaving and Jesus saying he's not staying, and Peter, he makes this big proclamation, and Jesus is like, no, bud, you're going to wash out. And then the next words out of Jesus' mouth is, let not your hearts be troubled. Just wrap all that up. Would you put it in your mind, because it's too big for my brain to get a hold of. All the chaos that these guys must have been facing, with their world crashing in and the confusion all around, with the thoughts of betrayal thick in the room, Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. So this is a great time to just ask you, what is your heart troubled about? What is it that's really troubling you? So just grab hold of some thought that's popping through your mind. Because that might, whatever's popping through your mind right now, may be the very task that you need to not allow to trouble you. We've got a lot of worries right now. Maybe a task that you have to do and you don't want to do it. You might be really frustrated about the football players and their whole deal with the national anthem. You might be all wigged out about the president and some of the stupid, crazy things he says, but he's still a president. There's North Korea. What is it that's troubling you? Are there health concerns, money concerns, loved ones that are disappointing you? Maybe you were disappointing yourself. What is it that might be troubling you? Whatever it is, could it be today that God's message for you is just quite simply, let not your hearts be troubled? It's hard to live there in that spot. I know it is for me. I'm sure you guys all have it nailed down. But, you know, to say, well, I live where my heart's not troubled. No, I flunk down here, and I fly over there, and then I come back. It's a good spot to be. You think a guy after, you know, 60 years to figure out this is the place to live, but now, you know, I'm always in and out, in and out. You that way too? Or do you just live there in that place of peace? Yeah, well, ask your spouse or whatever you do. So, anyway, not getting sidetracked. Whatever's troubling you, it's not the same as what's troubling somebody else. Even if it's the same problem that's troubling you, say you and your spouse both have the same problem, but you know, even if you both have the same problem, it's troubling you in different ways. And no matter what your problem is, you know, it's like you can't just say, well, we have a money problem, so this is the solution for everybody. It doesn't work that way. Because we're all products of our genetics, we're all products of our childhood experiences and our experiences going all through life and everything that happens to us. And we're all gifted differently, so we all respond to life's troubles differently. So to say, let not your hearts be troubled, is an easy statement, but it is difficult to practice. So how can we release the troubles of our hearts? How can we let go of what seems to haunt us? Would you be surprised to know that the answer is right here in this passage? John chapter 14, verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? Let's skip down to verse 10. Do you not believe that I, this is Jesus speaking, that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me. Or else believe your account of the works themselves. Now, I'm going to skip a bunch of that. What I really want you to see, you see this pretty clearly? This is John 14, and it covers verses 1 through 20. But I skipped some in there. Because what I want you to see is that I highlighted 17 places in this passage where the word in, word I am, is used. You can see that. So you probably have a pretty good idea that the answer to my question of how can we release the troubles of our heart are tied up in that word in. Okay? And if you're a good student, you already picked up on that. You said, well, the answer is in. The original Greek shows us that we translate our word in this entire passage from two different Greek words. Okay? The one is this yellow one, that's the blue one. The first thing that I want you to see on the yellow side is the little word till. You see that one right there? The word till. See, it's under the definition. There's the Greek word up there. That's what it looks like in Greek. If you read Greek, you can read that. If you can't, it's useless. It's a preposition. If you're an English major, that's important to you. If you're not, you don't even know what a preposition is. So, and here's the transliteration. So that's how we would write it in English. Here's the phonetic spelling. So that's how we would pronounce it. So that word is pronounced ice. The definition then means into, in, unto, to, till, upon, toward, for, among. Or properly, used in a proper voice, it is into or unto. And literally, it means motion into which. Okay? So when it says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. I want you to see that word right there, till. That's till like rototilling. Okay? Like to till the soil. Every gardener knows that you can take a bucket of sand and mix it in a wheelbarrow load of dirt and you can mix it up until it's just all one thing. Okay? We do that to make the soil light and make it drain, or you add clay to it to make it hold moisture or whatever. And so when it says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. It's not talking about saying, oh, I believe in God. It's talking about literally getting yourself, your belief, into God. And mixing yourself up with Him so that you're among Him. So, literally, motion into which? That's what this "in" means. Believe in God. Let your belief be mixed up with Him and everything He stands for and everything that He is. Let yourself be churned up with Him. Now, the blue side, which, if you remember the, let's see, go to slide 8, or is that 8?
No.
Go to 8, there. So you can see there's 3 places it's yellow, and then all the rest, 14 more places that it's blue. Okay? So, look, I want you to see that, see how much, you know, how much it is. Now, I want to go to slide number 9. Now, what I want you to see here is, you know, again, there's the Greek word, whatever that says, that's the Greek right there, and it's a preposition also, and the transliteration, so in English we spell it like that, phonetic spelling, so there you go, like a listen. The definition is in, on, among, and when used properly, it's inside or within. So you see that there's a little difference between how what it means there and what it means there. Now figuratively, now stick with me, I know this is the kind of stuff that I just love and everybody else hates. But figuratively, in the realm that is the sphere of, or as in the condition or the state in which something operates from the inside, that is within, in, being something that operates from the inside. So, in my Father's house are many rooms. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, that I am operating from within my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Go to the next slide. What do we have? Verse 20. In that day you will know that I am in the Father. Jesus is saying that He is in the Father, that He's inside the Father and working out. He's in the realm of the sphere of the Father, and that He is in the condition of a state which has something that operates from within the Father. Jesus is there with Him, mixed with Him, and you in me. So Jesus is in the Father, and we are in Him, and Jesus is in you. So what I want you to see now is that the Father is here, and He's like a vessel, and the wholeness of the Son has been poured into the vessel, and then the wholeness of you and I have been poured into the vessel, and now we're all in there together. We're all mixed up with Him, if you believe. Let not your hearts be troubled. Because you know what? Whatever your trouble is, if you're mixed up with Him, if you're in Him, if you believe in Him, you're not facing anything like that. I'm sitting outside the grocery store, tapping the steering wheel, thinking, what in the world is that woman doing? And what I should be thinking is, praise the name of Jesus. Because He's got me right where He wants me. Learning to be patient. Learning to chill, to veg out, to know that it's all going to be fine. He takes. And I get the word that the annex is flooded. I go over there. The time I got home was almost 10:30. Tired. And that dinner. The soup that you guys gave me was cold. You're like, Pastor, don't complain about that. Just put it in the microwave. If I put it in the microwave, I couldn't complain about it being cold. So, all that stuff, if I'm in the Father, it's all okay.
You say, but Pastor, there are some big things that happen. There's lives that are lost. There's hurricanes and tragedies and things. How do you be in the Father in those things? And it's exactly the same way. In the midst of addiction, how can you be in the Father and an addict? I don't know, but you can. Because if you believe and you allow yourself to be mixed into Him, you can find victory in Him. Because He is with you. He is touching you and healing you. Because you see, He doesn't take the horrible, sinful you and pour you in there. No. He takes us and pours us into Jesus, and He heals us and He washes us. And He cleanses us from our sin. And then we're poured into Him. And then we're one with Him. Hey, me and God and Jesus, we're just like that. And you believe you're just like that too. Let not your hearts be troubled by the things of this world. Did any of you guys read My Utmost for His Highest as a Daily Devotion? Anybody besides me do that? Some of you do. Yesterday, I was going to bring it in here. I'm going to bring my phone in, Troy, wherever you are. I was going to bring my phone in and read it off my phone because that's where I have it. But yesterday's My Utmost for His Highest devotional talked about how the juice of communion isn't a grape. It's juice. That you can't drink a grape. So they smash the grape. And he talks about how God uses the fingers of people in our lives to smash us so that we can be mixed with Him. And yet we constantly complain about the fingers that God chooses to use to mix us. Because it's like God knows what our buttons are. And He just keeps pushing until we figure out that we don't have to let our hearts be troubled. That He really is pulling all the strings. And all we have to do is allow Him to raise us up like eagles. That we might fly and soar above it all. That we could walk and not grow weary. That we could run and not faint. If we just wait on Him and let Him work in us and through us, and just like, you know, a little yeast leavens the whole loaf. Little sin gets all through everything. So in the same way, you know, so does a little flour get through it all. So does a little water get through it all. And we have to allow Him to knead us with cake, kneading with cake, and work us and make us His children, that we might learn to not be troubled. I wish I could say, well, you know, just do this and you're there. But it's not that. It's do this every time the despair comes. It's do this. So it might be 50 times a day that you have to do it. But today what we're going to do is we're going to take communion. And so today we're going to be reminded that right now we're going to take everything and we're going to pull it back to zero, because that's what communion does. Is it reminds us that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, when His blood was shed and His body was broken, that all of your sin was taken and placed on Christ. Everything. Everything that you've done. Everything. It's all placed on Jesus. And if we are in Him, and He is in the Father, then we are where we want to be. We're where we were created to be. And everything in the world then will be right. If we've done that. So when you take this bread, and you take this cup, you are reminded, we are reminded, that Jesus' body was broken, but it was broken for us. It was put out in
million pieces, and all over the world, today, the first day of the week, most churches observe communion. Or the first day of the month. First day of the week, too. But first day of the month, most churches observe communion. So, I don't know, where do they start? New Zealand or Australia or something, you know, and a timeline goes all the way around the world. And we're getting to the end of the timeline. There's like Hawaii and some islands after us. And pretty soon it's going to be Monday. So all around the world, people have been taking communion. We are the chain, the link of people saying, I believe in Jesus. I believe. Mixed up with him. I'm in him. I'm operating from inside of him. I'm taking him and ingesting him inside of me because we are like this, all banded together as one. The world will tell you all kinds of crazy things. Some theologians will try to confuse all the stuff. But I'm telling you, the scriptures that you read say clearly that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. And that means we are like a Trinity with God. Okay? I'm not saying we are the Trinity, you get that. But we have an amalgamation that comes together in the fullness of doesn't say that about the animals, how we love our dogs and cats. It doesn't say it about them. It says it about us. We are the ones who created the image of God. We are the ones who need to have a right relationship with Him. If you have sin in your life this morning, you never confess yourself as needing the love of God in your life. You need to do that. You just need to say, Father, forgive me for my sin. Father, I'm going to take my sins and I'm going to put them in Christ. And then you want to say, you know what? I'm going to live for Christ. So that's just like going right in there after your sins. You're just entering into Christ. You know what you're going to find in there? You're going to find that your sins are washed, they're cleansed, they're gone. You're going to find that as that cleansing touches you, it affects you. And suddenly you're going to feel lighter and cleaner and better about life. You're not going to have all the answers. It doesn't mean you're not going to have problems, but it means that when you face these problems, you're going to face them with the Lord. And it is so much better to face your problems with God than without Him. And those are the two choices, because the problems are going to come in your way. Don't ask the elders if they would come forward. But we're going to take this communion. Jesus Christ. He lived, He taught, walked among us, walked among the people. He was their friend. He was their teacher. If He were here in the flesh today, He would be an encouragement to us. He would be very clear with us that some of our behaviors need to stop and some things that we're not doing need to happen. Started to be kind. He just made it his purpose to be kind. To be kind at home. To be kind at work. To be kind at the stores when he went to the store. And he was amazed by the difference it made in his life and his heart. When he smiled at people. When he stopped with his family and was a little more understanding of what they were doing. Just because he was kind. If Jesus was here, he would be kind. Gentle with our feelings and our emotions. As you hold this little piece of bread in your hand, He knows us inside and out. He knows where your kindness level is and where your anger begins. He wants to push your anger back a little farther. Raise your kindness up a little more. He wants us to love more. He wants us to be more. He wants us to be more in control of who we are, what we're doing. Are you in control?
this is, it probably has gluten in it. It reminds us of the body that once hung on a cross for the sins of all mankind. And as we take this, we are saying that we are taking in Jesus. We're taking in his crucifixion. We're taking in his burial. We're taking in everything that he taught, everything that he said. We're taking it in and we're making it ours. In a few minutes after taking this, the proteins, the carbohydrates, whatever is in this stuff, is going to be going through our blood. It's going to be down on our toes and out in our fingers and up in our ears and all over. Working through us. As often as you take this, take it in remembrance of Jesus Christ. It reminds us that our sins can be cleansed with the power of Jesus. Our lives can be changed.
Not only dying on the cross, not only being placed in the tomb, but you take
take it remembering that when they went to visit him in his tomb, that the stone was rolled away and that he had risen from the dead. And that he did that, and then he ascended to his Father, and he did that so that those of us that died believing in him could rise to life like he did. So if we live now following him, when we die, we will follow him as well. It is with this cup that we remember. So take it in remembrance of Jesus Christ. He lived and died for our sins. He resurrected from the dead that we might have eternal life with him forever. Father, I ask your blessing on this congregation. And thank you so much for them, Lord. In case they've never heard it, Lord, I hope they understand that this is a message of love. That you love them. Father, those of us that are in you, we love them too. They are loved.